I sat down and thought for a little while about how 2013 went. And I'm fairly certain that I'll write my first several dates wrong and write down 2013 instead of 2014. But if I would think about one thought in my mind that kind of captured what 2013 was all about, and it was watching God answer prayer. I know that there were struggles. I know that there were a lot of heartaches, and I know that there were a lot of physical ailments that happened to a lot of folks. But you know how good God was throughout all of the year of 2013. And 13 is supposed to be a bad number, but boy, he sure did answer a lot of prayers in a good way. We saw our preacher get brought back to health. We saw Brother Mike get brought back to health. We're going to see Miss Debbie brought back to health. I mean, so many folks. We saw Brother Bill's dad get brought back to health, and he hasn't had a seizure in months now, has it been? Hasn't it been months? He went out and bought a truck. He can't wait to start driving again. So, you know, the Lord has answered many prayers, and many folks have seen a lot of answered prayers this year. And I know that if we would try to add them up and try to put them on a piece of paper, it'd be a very long one. I looked on the internet and tried to find out important events that happened in 2013, and you know, it's amazing to me. I got depressed in the first 3 weeks. All they mentioned was death the whole way. That's all they mentioned was death. Important things, death, 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 taxes. Death, 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 taxes. And we avoided the fiscal cliff, taxes. I mean, it was everything was doom and gloom. And I'm going to tell you right now, going into 2014, if I look back on 2013 and what it was supposed to be bad, to me, 2013 was fantastic watching the Lord do things that humans could not do. And I'm not talking about simple little things like you prayed for a sandwich and he gave you a sandwich. I'm talking about people were getting ready to die and God brought them back from death and gave them life. I mean, these are things where the doctor said, I don't know what in the world to do. And God says, I'll show you what to do. The Lord brought Jim well through his surgery on his head. Was that this last year or was that 2 years ago? How long has that been? He lost his mind. 1 year. See, 2013 was a year filled with answered prayers and answered prayers and answered prayers. That was a long day of praying and talking to the Lord about that young man being healthy and making it through the surgery. And I don't know about you, but God still answers prayers. God still answers things. And I hesitate to go into 2014 without mentioning how good God was in 2013. We did not have a bad year in 2013. We had a God-blessed year in 2013, and I got a little excited when I started to think about those things. As I talked about 2013, I thought to myself, good night, I made it through my Bible calendar in 2013. Not everybody can say that they made it through their Bible calendar. I can say I made it through my Bible calendar in 2013, and I'm right on track in 2014. Yes, I read today. I know I'm excited about 2014. I'll tell you why. Because if you look back on 2013, you can honestly say with an assured hope that 2014 should be no different. 2014 should be a year filled with prayers being answered. 2014 should be a year filled with hopes being given. 2014 should be a year where we see God do great and wonderful things. Where else would you like to be than seeing God do wonderful things through Bethel Baptist Church and through your lives? So I look at these scriptures and I think about these things. And I think about, man, if I had some wishes and some thoughts and some resolutions, not revolutions, I got that from that commercial, resolutions that we would like to have filled this year. I'm going to tell you, one thing I would like to do more this year is pray to the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, one thing I'd like to do more is pray to the Lord. I would like to talk to Him more. And I'm not talking about a few minutes here and there. I'm talking about having an actual speaking relationship with Jesus Christ, one that I can look at and think about and talk to Him and walk with Him and renew my walk with Christ in a way that's never been done before. I got to see Him answer all these prayers. He got to show me His power. I got to prove that He can. Now I'd love to be able to talk to Him. I'd love to take some time out, and more than just the busyness. If one thing has happened in this world, we have gotten so busy. I mean, we have gotten busy. I had a lady come up to me right after our children's program. Christmas always breaks my heart. Every year Christmas breaks my heart. I am the Grinch. I understand that. I'm that guy. But it breaks my heart because, and this is just my opinion, and it is what it is. We forget Christ, I think. that Christ is the last thing that we do. Come on now. Christ is the last thing we do. We make sure all of our gifts are bought and everybody's taken care of, and we've got a gift list longer than our arm. We fulfill all those things, and then we think about, I got to go to church. Or we think about, oh, we got to include Luke 2. Or, oh, I think about, we got to talk about the Lord now. You know, it bothers me, and I had a person come up to me right after the kids' program in tears saying, man, I thank you for reminding me of what Christmas is really about. And I know that it doesn't go over well all the time. But I'm going to be honest with you. If independent fundamental Baptist churches can't remember Christ on Christmas, who in the world is going to do that? Amen. So as I thought about going forward into 2014, I looked at these verses, and I tell you, I felt in our church, and I don't know about you, but I felt that we filled this verse. I want to brag on the Lord a little bit, and I want to brag on our future a little bit. Listen, this world's not getting better, okay? Don't buy into what they're trying to sell you. This world's not getting better. It's getting more and more filled with sin. I watched a program on TV. I can't watch TV. It depresses me. It was about medicinal marijuana in California. And this couple was on there, and they were talking about how much money they had to pay for this new industry. They're likening it to farming. Well, it does have some aspects of farming, I guess, but I just don't normally think about corn ending up in a rolled-up cigarette. But anyhow, so I'm learning these things, and I'm listening to these people talk, and I'm listening to what they're trying to say, and I'm listening to this person from Argentina come on saying that, oh, we've done away with all regulations on drugs. Our kids can just do drugs whenever they want now, and there's no punishment for that, no penalty now. They can do anything they want to, and for some odd reason, our drug arrests have gone down. What? I mean, I'm not the most intelligent man in the world, but if you're sitting there watching that TV for 7 seconds or less, the man says that we've made everything legal and our drug arrests have gone down. It's working. Well, duh. That's like in the United States of America, the divorce rate's down. Nobody's getting married anymore. It's real easy in America. They say the unemployment rate. They never say the unemployment rate's down. They say the first-time jobless claims are down. You ever heard that before? The first-time jobless claims are down. Sure, everybody's already out of a job. Ha! So as I watch these things and I think about this world and I think about what's going on, I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for a word that never changes. I'm so thankful for an independent fundamental Baptist church. I'm so thankful that heaven is my home. And I looked at these verses and, oh my goodness, I just believe that we got to see this happen at Bethel Baptist Church this last year, and I cannot wait to see it happen a little bit more. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, but the God of all grace, and boy, didn't you sense His grace this last year? I don't know about you, but God just seemed to give grace this last year. And I know there were hard times, but can I help you a little bit? Don't get too awful upset about the hard times. Because without them, you don't know how good the good is. Oh, no, I don't want the bad times. Please don't misread me. I'm not an idiot that goes around hoping that I have bad times. But at the very same time, I understand that going through, listen, and I know I've used this a lot, but going through what I went through with my dad, I cannot deny that that got me closer to Jesus Christ. And I bet none of you can either. That tragedy, that torment that we were going through for 6 and 8 and 10 months, I got to be honest with you, that brought me closer to Jesus Christ than we were before. When Brother Sells was sick, I got to believe that brought your family a little closer to Jesus Christ, watching Him answer prayer after prayer after prayer concerning your health. I believe that your folks are getting closer. I know I talked to your wife, and your wife said, I'm getting closer to the Lord through this. He's teaching me some things. That's in the midst of her going through this. I know the problems are bad, but boy, don't you see God's grace in these things? Don't you see God working grace in these wonderful people that are in our church that are going through hard times, and God is working wonderful grace through them? And if you see these verses, isn't it nice and comforting to know that we've got a graceful God, but the God of all grace, how much of it? All of it. God's got all the grace, but the God of all grace who hath called us. Boy, isn't that good. I love to break these little verses apart. Did you know that if you're a saved person under the sound of my voice, you've been called to that? I get a little nervous about people saying, I don't recognize my calling. Well, you're an idiot. The Bible speaks very, very highly of being called. I know that I'm called to be saved. The Lord called. I picked up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that I've been called to preach. No doubt in my mind. I know. And if there's a fellow out there who doesn't know, he should stop till he finds out. See, I worry about preachers that aren't sure of their calling, that aren't sure what they're supposed to do, because when the bad times come, they're not going to get through them. Look at this now. He has called us unto his eternal glory. Do you know that the glory that we are getting ready to face is eternal? Can you wrap your head around eternity? I can't. I can't imagine no more time clocks. I can't imagine no more clocks on the walls. I can't imagine no more night. No more darkness. No more worrying about those things. But while we're here even, isn't it wonderful to see God's glory even while we're here? I mean, he's full of glory, and we get to see it at Bethel Baptist Church throughout 2013. We got to see God's grace over and over and over, and God's glory over and over and over. And do you know why we saw God's glory? Because the people that received it gave him the glory for it. And I don't know about you, but I saw a lot of people. Let me tell you, when Miss Debbie's healed, when Miss Debbie's back to 100%, when Miss Debbie's doing everything she's supposed to be doing again, you'll give God the glory, and that we'll get to see God's glory again. See, it's not something that we gloried in ourselves, Brother Bill. It's not something that look at what we did when we went to the hospital. Or, look at what we did when Brother Mike came through at Cleveland Clinic and I prayed over him. It must have been my prayer. No, it was the glory of God. And we got to see it. Even through one of Dale's everything's mine. Let me tell you something, Brother Dale, there's no procedures. They're all surgeries and they're all major. And I'm going to tell you right now, how much glory are we giving God already over what he's done through you? And that's just physical things. How many financial burdens have been lifted? How many houses have been taken care of? How many things have happened in this church that we can look back at and say, glory to God, thank you so much. But the God of all grace, who hath called us in unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Look at this now. And we did this. I believe that. And I know there's more coming. But I want you to see this. After that ye have suffered a while. I can just about bet that I could go to every person in this room and they can point to a place where they suffered a while. I would just about bet. I think about the McDaniels as they're back there. I know that you've suffered a while. How long did we suffer waiting for those babies? Isn't it great to have them here? Could you see, I what glory did God get? Did you see God's glory? Maybe I see things differently. But I saw those two babies right here singing. Doesn't God get some kind of glory for that? Huh? Justice singing up here. As that little girl singing, all the places she could be, and that little baby singing. See, I saw the glory of God. I saw the glory of God bringing those babies all the way across the country. Suffering for a while. Going through things for a while. Having to deal with things for a while. And then there's God's glory. Malachi singing like this. I mean, letting it rip. And he's not singing bad songs. He's singing songs about Christ. Glory to God. As I watched 2013, I saw a young man, Curtis Wiley, up here playing Joseph. His mom and daddy didn't even come to the program. His dad was out drinking somewhere. His mama didn't even show up. We had to get him and bring him here so he could play Joseph. He did a good job. Huh? He did a good job. Do you see the glory that God gets after you suffered a while? See, the Bible says after you'd suffered a while. He never said it'd be easy. But you know what, Brother Mike? I see more glory in God when after we've suffered for a while than I see in any other time. I see that glory that God gives. Why? Because he's got his children looking on him. Because he's got his children forgetting that they can do something and realizing that only he can do it. Have you ever had something that only God could do? And it wasn't an accident? I'm talking real life, only God could do it, and you got to witness it happen. You know, in 2014, I don't want us to forget about the ones that happened in 2013. See, we can point at many bad things that happened in 2013, but I think the good very heavily outweigh the bad. After you have suffered a while, and this is what God does, and this is what I want for our future. For each individual person, for me too, I looked at this and I want God to do this for me, in me. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect. Now it doesn't mean perfect. Getting closer to complete, I believe that's what it's talking about. That's that perfect that's talking about. That's the correct word, believe me. There's no better word. Perfect is the right word, but not perfect in the thought that we think of perfect. The completeness. Man, I wish we would be more complete Christians. Huh? You know, it seems like every Christian does something pretty good. You know, Brother Bill plays the organ very, very well. No doubt about that. Plays piano very well. Autumn, you sing real pretty. Tiffany played piano pretty. A lot of people have talents and they use them very well. But that doesn't make you a complete Christian. This may not go over well. I'm talking about, can we have something about the future to look forward to? You say, well, I lack in Bible reading. Let me tell you something. I had people call me and say, Brother Dave, I don't like reading. Can anybody say amen? I'm just being honest. Can I be honest with you tonight? There's some folks don't like reading. That's okay. But then they call me and say, but I did it anyhow. Do you know what God did? Made them more complete. Made them more complete. Well, I like to read, but I don't like to pray. I can't understand that. I can't understand not liking to pray. It's not easy, by the way. But let me challenge you to do this. I challenge you to start. God will take care of the rest. As crazy as it sounds, the first few times you pray, you won't have much to talk about. You'll get 10 minutes out, and you'll think it was an hour. Do you know after about 2-3 weeks you'll be an hour and you thought it was 10 minutes? See, God's amazing at bringing things to your mind. And what I watch in the prayer life that I have had in the past, I start out praying for stuff that I want. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. If you want something, you ought to pray and ask God for it. Glory to God. There's nothing wrong with that. He already knows. You might as well tell him. Amen? So he already knows. You might as well tell him. It's amazing how when you keep praying, quit praying for you, and you start praying for others. Then another interesting change happens. You want your others because you want them. It's weird. When I prayed for my dad, I wanted my dad to be healed because I wanted to see it. That might say, hey, maybe that's wrong to you. But I knew God could, and I wanted this church to see it. I wanted to see it. Do you know that was a miracle? I wanted to see it, and God did it. God did it in a miraculous and wondrous way. That's why there's no doubt in my mind that Debbie's coming right behind. I know that. I know it. I want to see it. And the prayer request that I have for her is not for me. It's for her, but understand it's my heart's desire that she gets healed. That has become my request. Instead of I want a soccer ball, which I would never pray for, I want Miss Debbie to be healed. Instead of wanting my vertical leap back, I want Miss Debbie to be healed. It's my prayer request has changed. Your thought process has changed. That's what happens when you start to become more complete. Where do you lack? See, I want God to start straightening us out, not us. Let's let God start straightening us. Where do we lack? By the way, you already know it. You know where you lack. You may hesitate to admit it to me or others, although others and me may already know it. But it's none of our business to tell you, Miss Jolynn, where you lack. Focus is one thing you lack in. I'll tell you that right now. Focus. There's the TV. There's your eyes. I don't know why that is, but okay. So if you know what it is and you can admit to yourself what it is, I wonder if we can let God perfect us this year. Become more complete. Become a more complete Christian. Well, I don't give as much as I ought to. I don't give according to what God would have me to do. Become more complete. This next year, let him perfect you through his grace and give him glory. Do you see this verse? Do you understand why I'm going here? Because I want us to be Christians that are better than we were the year before. I want, as a Christian myself, I want to be better than I was last year. I do. I lacked in my prayer life last year, although my prayer life went to a whole new level last year. Isn't that weird? My prayer life went to a whole new level, yet I know that's where I lack. See, the Lord is trying through these years to perfect me as a Christian, to perfect you as a Christian, letting you know wherein you lack so you can help to fix it and let God have the glory for it. Amen? You say, I didn't finish my Bible calendar. So this year, finish it. I'm not buying new ones this year. I'll buy them again next year. College and career class will go ahead and get them again next year. But you know what? This year, go use your old one and finish it. Go through and do it. Well, you know what a great feeling it was when I turned the page in Revelation and that was the end? Huh? Man, that felt so good. To tell the Lord I did it. I made it through that calendar, and that's not easy. But I was so glad that I made it through. It was perfect. It was completed. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish you. I would love to have established Christian lives. Lives that have a foundation that is established. Lives that have a foundation that are mortared together, that are unbreakable, unbreachable, established Christian life that the Lord has established, that you've established yourself in him, that this is where it starts and this is where it ends, in him. This 2014, see, if we can get ourselves to a point where we realize where we lack, it'll start to fill the breaches in the wall that we have of our Christian life. It'll start to fill those breaches that we have, those holes in our wall. We can fill those up lest the enemy can get inside and attack us. You know, it's not hard for me to see where I get attacked. It really isn't. It's not hard for me to see where the devil gets a hold of me. And by the way, every single person under the sound of my voice also knows where the devil gets a hold of you. In those spots are the spots where the Lord is trying to complete us. He's trying to perfect us. But to do that, he's got to establish us in certain things. He's got to give us guidelines and goals and things that we can do in our lives, things that we can change coming into 2014 that we didn't do before, but now we're going to do them this year. Something that we didn't do before, but we're going to do now. Things in our Christian life that will establish us and make us complete, established Christians. Not only established Christians. I love what it says here. Perfect, establish, strengthen. And in that order, I don't believe the Lord messes up on the order in this Bible. I believe he gives us the correct order. I believe he wants us to see that this is a thing that we need to worry about being more perfect. Not perfect. We can never be perfect on this side of heaven, but to be more perfect, to establish us. And when we get those holes filled, he'll begin to strengthen us. See, it's not very easy to battle when you're weary. It's not very easy to battle when you're tired. It's not very easy to battle when you're being tossed to and fro. It's not very easy. You say, well, Brother Dave, why didn't you bring this on a Sunday morning when you have more baby Christians here? Because let me tell you something. I got to be honest with you. I believe this fits more for mature Christians than it does for baby Christians. Because mature Christians, in my opinion, the people that I'm looking at with my beady little eyes tonight, know where they're failing. And by the way, can I help you? You all are failing in some way. I mean, come on now. Come on now. Don't look at me and say, well, I'm not failing anywhere. I'm perfect all the time. Well, you're not, because you'd be in heaven. And the people around you probably wish you were there. We're not perfect. We know that. But mature Christians can start to see that a little bit when the Lord has revealed to them things in their life. The newness and the funness and the getting rid of stuff out of your life. The getting rid of the easy stuff, the getting rid of the drugs, the alcohol, the pornography, all those things, they ought to be gone by now. Those things ought to be gone. We should not be having this same discussion anymore. Good night, Christians. We should not be talking about whether a beer is wrong or a wine is wrong, or we shouldn't be talking about those things. Those should be behind us in this room. This is mature Christians. Those should be past. We shouldn't be worrying about missing church Christians. That we should be past that here. We shouldn't be worrying about tithing Christians. We should be past all that. This should be the group that has gone past that, and now the Lord is starting to show them, hey, listen, if you would just pray, maybe in front of your kids a little bit. As a dad, that's one thing I fail in a little bit, I got to be honest with you. I don't pray in front of my kids enough. And I'm not, oh, I know you need to crawl into your prayer closet, I get that. But you know what, where are your kids ever going to learn your prayer life if you never show them that you pray? See, we as parents got to pass down more than just strength, more than just honor, more than just ability, more than just brains. How about a relationship with Jesus Christ? Let's pass that down to the children. And as the Lord reveals to us over this last year, maybe some holes in our Christianity, I wonder if he could establish us. And then if he establishes us, what other direction can we go but stronger? Do you know why Christians fall? Christians fall because they're base, their established, their underneath, their foundation gets torn away. Foundations never get torn away by all of a sudden landslide. And I don't care what anybody says. You can go to the person that has failed the most in their life, the greatest Christian that has fallen the farthest. I promise you, it didn't happen overnight. Their life was torn apart brick by brick by brick. It was torn apart, just a little mortar here and a little mortar there seemed to fall out of the cracks. A little bit here, they forgot to do this, or they didn't do this the same, or they didn't say grace before a meal, or they all of a sudden stopped listening to the right music, or they stopped reading their Bible, or they stopped praying as much. And little by little, piece by piece started to come out. And I got to be honest with you, you don't see the great fall without the great eroding first. And as our lives as Christians, I challenge you in 2014, shore up your foundation, shore up your wall, shore up that which you're standing on, and establish yourself back to that Christianity of prayer. Establish yourself back to that Christianity of Bible reading, back to that Christianity of loving Jesus Christ, back to that Christianity of giving him the glory instead of you the glory. Back to that, back to that, back to that, to establish that wall so you can become stronger than you've ever been. Do you realize that we don't need weak Christians today? We're loaded with them. We need mature Christians that are strong enough to not be offended if somebody's having a bad day. We need Christians that are strong enough to stop the gossiping at the gate. We need Christians that are strong enough to not have bad days and let it get you down all the time. You say, how's that possible? Get a stronger foundation. Establish yourself. Establish yourself. Let Jesus Christ build that wall back, and then he'll strengthen you. But I'm so thankful that it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with that statement. He's got a little bit further that he takes us. And I love that what he says here, after you suffered a while, he'll make you perfect, he'll establish you, strengthen you, and he'll settle you. Do you know how many Christians are unsettled? With their church, with their Bible. They're unsettled in their home life. They're unsettled in what they believe and what they know. They're unsettled because they can't get their nose out of books that men have wrote. And I'm not against that. I'm not against reading a good commentary. I'm not against reading things. But I got to be honest with you. You know what bothers me, Brother Rod, is when the book that a man writes becomes more important than this book. And let me help you a little bit. This is what I mean by that. What I mean by that is very simple. If a man writes in here something that's contradictory to what the Bible says and they write it in their book, you know, I don't care what man it is. This book is right first and they're wrong. I don't care what man it is. See, if you were an established and settled Christian, you would know there's certain things about the Bible that are true and certain things that are not true, and you would know what they are. Dr. Lacey gave me a wonderful, wonderful illustration of that. He was a banker and he worked very hard to get to his position. They're training him how to find counterfeit money. Not very, very difficult to find counterfeit money. But you think, how in the world am I going to learn what all the counterfeits look like? How am I going to learn? They make them new all the time. Am I going to have to take classes on that or whatever? They gave him one class on how to find counterfeit money. That class was learning what the real one looked like. Because if you know what the real one looks like, the fakes are easy to spot. In your Christian life, you ought to know this backwards, forwards. This should be the first thing you look at, the last thing that you pillow your head with, and you ought to be able to, willing and able to say, no, it does not say that in here. It does not say that in here. I don't care what. By the way, I'll give you a very good example. Very prominent author that I love very, very much wrote in one of his books that it was a thought that Jesus didn't know who he was until he was 12 years old. You know how I feel about that. But it was, I love him. I love him with all my heart. Great man. But I knew that that was wrong. I'm not going to take what that man says and say, well, you know what? He said it. It must be right. See, that shows you a stability, a settled. I've settled that I have to have the Word of God present for somebody. I've settled that. I don't have to guess anymore. I don't have to have anybody tell me. It's not an argument with me. This is what it is. I would love to have some settled Christians. Settled where? Settled in their prayer life. Settled where? Settled in coming to church when the doors are open. Settled where? Settled to coming to our revival meetings when they're here. It's amazing to me. This tickles my heart. Somebody can't wait to tell me how great the church service was down the street, but I can't get them to come to every church service that we have. Happy New Year. See, this next year, I want some real live Christianity to come. Real live, this is what it's going to be, Christianity. Real live, we are going to go back to the old paths. We're not going to get caught up in this new age garbage. We're not going to get caught in any of these things. We like the direction the church is. We like the old paths, and that's the way we want to stay. You know, there is something to be said for your local church. There is something to be said. I had people come and say, well, a great friend of mine is pastoring a church down the street now, and we're going to start going to that church. Let me help you a little bit. I don't need a friend. I need a preacher. That's not settled Christianity. That's not settled at all. There's somebody that has a pastor, and that pastor is in my life. Happens to me my father-in-law. Happens to me my friend. I don't need him to be either of those two things. I need him to be my pastor. You need him to be your pastor. And how dare we start, well, this, he didn't say something I like. I'm going to go ahead and go down the street now. That's not settled Christianity. How's that being settled? And here's what's the funny thing is, they'll run out the door and never settle it with the preacher. That's not settled Christianity. See, what bothers me is this. I don't mind you have a beef with the preacher. Go ahead. We're going to have all kinds of beefs with each other. I get that. That's the way the world is. But have the guts enough to go tell him. I didn't have any of that planned. Somebody must be getting ready to leave. If you're going to leave, go ahead. But could you tell your preacher first? Did you know your pastor loves you? Do you know it rips your pastor's heart out when anybody leaves? That's just a thought. As we talk about these things going forward into 2014, and I'm all done, when we look back at 2013, you can't tell me that God didn't show himself as real. I saw amazing things. I was looking for them, though. I wanted to see them. I wanted to see what God had for us, and I saw it. But I want this. I want more. I want to have my life even more perfected with Him. I want to be more complete. Less complaint, more complete. Boy, that's good. We should get t-shirts made. Less complaint, more complete. I want to be established. I want to be established Christian. Well, you can't knock me off this wall. My wall's got too thick of a foundation. I want to be strengthened in Christ. Oh, God, I want to be strengthened in Christ. See, this is what worries me. Many, many far better men than this preacher, far better men than this preacher have fallen. I don't want to be one. Do you know part of my prayers, and Colton, you need to hear this because you're a kid preacher. You know, part of my prayers is, Lord, please don't ever let me take my eyes off you. Lord, please don't let me ever get into things that I ought not get into. Lord, please don't let me ever go down that path that I ought not go down to. Get into Proverbs, buddy, because I'm going to tell you, you get good life lessons out of that book that will help you to keep yourself clear. Because I'm going to tell you, the worst thing you can ever do is say, I'm never going to. I want to be established Christian. I want to be a strengthened Christian. And I want to settle it. I want to get it settled. I want this next year to be something great. And I'm not talking church-wide. Can I help you a little bit? Do you know if we all get better in Christ, what will happen to Bethel? Huh? No, if you make a decision. No. Come on now. Quit fooling around. If you make a decision in your life to get better, what's going to happen to the church? You know, we keep talking about, well, glory to God, let's have a revival. Why can't we have revival? Why can't we do this? Forget about all that. Let's have it right here in you first. Because if every one of us gets revival in our lives, I promise you, revival will come. It can't help it. You get one match in the middle of nowhere, what you got? A match lit. You get a whole bunch of matches all together, and eventually you're going to catch one another on fire, and you're going to have a fire you can't stand so hot. We've got a problem that we are waiting for somebody else to get happy about Christ. We're waiting for somebody else to get revival, to some magnanimous preacher to come in here and give us revival. You've got magnanimous preachers in this church. You've got stellar preaching in this church. I don't care who's in that pulpit. It's always good and always godly. It's not that. It's right here in us. It's right here in us. For 2014, forget about the church. Think about you. You. Are you willing to take the TV and turn it off for 2 hours a day? Huh? Are you willing to make the most important thing in your life reading God's book instead of going to the movies? Huh? Are we willing to think about what can we do for Christ instead of what can we do for this? Are we willing to do something this year? You're going to have to let go of some things. I'm going to tell you, that's the way it works. Because you got to get rid of some world to get some of this. And we've all got some. I do too. We've got to get ourselves to a position in our lives. Listen, here it is. We're done. 2014's got to be better. Got to be better. It's got to be. Because unless we're growing, we're dying. One of the only churches in this entire area, and I know there's more, but we're one of the only churches in this entire area that has the truth and preaches it unashamedly. But that's not enough. You've got to have it right here. Right here. Quit waiting for somebody else to get it. What's the matter with you? It's got to be you. If you don't have it, what do you care if everyone else in the whole wide world has it? Everybody else could have it. You're still going to be behind wondering why you ain't got it. In 2014, remember what happened in 2013. God showed himself. What are we going to do with it? Let's have a perfect, or at least getting closer, established, strengthened, and settled 2014. Let's get closer. Amen. Let's do something greater for the Lord Jesus Christ this next year. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this night. Lord God, I want more from you. I want more from you, and I know wanting more from you, I've got to get rid of some of me. And Lord, that's my fault. It is nothing that you've done. But Lord, I'm speaking on my behalf now, not your behalf. Lord, I'm speaking on my behalf. Lord, please help me to get closer to you. Help me to get closer, fill in some of those holes, fill in some of those cracks that I have in my foundation, Lord. Please. I believe this was the right crowd, Lord. I believe who was here is supposed to be here. I don't believe that was an accident. And that means I've got some folks in here, Lord, that needed this. Lord, please help us. I don't believe one person in this room will regret it if they get closer to you. I don't believe one person in this room will regret being settled, will regret being strengthened, will regret being established. I don't believe there's one. Lord, help us. I watch the way this world is going, Lord, it scares me to death. Lord, we have got to have Christianity back. And it's going to have to start with each of us. Not all of us. Each of us. Lord, help us to make it more personal. To make the lives we lead towards you more personal. Not opening up our eyes and setting our gazes on somebody else. I'm not interested on somebody else's Christianity. I'm interested in mine. Lord, I'm not saying I don't want to teach folks about you, but Lord, I sometimes get myself caught up in what other folks are doing and maybe even taking joy in the fact that they're not doing such a good job and trying to make myself feel better. Lord, God, truth is, I need you. Lord, truth is, I need to get closer to you. Truth is, Lord, I need to get more Christian. Lord, I'm not going to get that unless I start to make a decision to do it. Lord, maybe this isn't popular. But you know my heart. And my heart is I want to be better for you. In order to do that, I'm going to have to give up some things. I'm going to have to take on some things. Lord, please help me to do that. Be with the invitation, Lord, as they come forward, hopefully, Lord, making a decision to have a great 2014 for you. Lord, please be with all the sick. Oh, God, be with them. Bring them back to us, Lord. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.